Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the latest and greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. It's me, your boy. I'm back, your humble and gracious host. How y'all been, man? I hope y'all been blessed, drinking plenty of water, trying to reduce your stress, trying to better yourself, better your mental health, not just your financial wealth. On this episode, getting into all kind of things, catching up on the news, going into things that's been bugging me, things I am loving and loving in my life, sports, entertainment, news, all that and much, much more after this brief message. In sports, starting with the NFL, division leaders at this moment as it stands in week 8 in the AFC East, you have the Patriots. The AFC West is led by the Chiefs. The Ravens lead the AFC North, and the Colts lead the AFC South. In the NFC, you have the Cowboys leading the NFC East. The undefeated San Francisco 49ers leading the NFC West. The Packers leading the NFC North. And the Saints leading the NFC South. If I had to give a midway year Super Bowl pick, I think I'm going to go with the Saints and the Patriots in the Super Bowl, man. I know, it's crazy. I wanted to see Breeze versus Brady in the Super Bowl for quite some time now, man. And considering the fact that the Saints have won 5 games in a row with Teddy Bridgewater as a quarterback and Drew Breeze is going to come back off of injury, I mean, that's pretty astronomically rare. If you're looking for that one sort of thing that happens in a year with a particular team, that is something to look for that could possibly be a future predictor for who might be at the end. And of course, the damn Patriots in the Super Bowl seems like every freaking year. So yeah, I obviously kind of expect them to still be there, but I hope the Saints, if that scenario comes through, Saints, please win that. I do not want to see Tom Brady win any more Super Bowls, even if he is making more appearances. In the NBA, it just kicked off this week. You had the Clippers beating the Lakers in the debut battle for LA. AD and LeBron versus Kawhi and company, minus Paul George, who's still recovering from shoulder surgery. Clippers won that. LeBron did not play well. Had the Raptors with their ring ceremony. Shout out to the sixth guy, Drake, getting them championship rings, beating on the Pelicans with no Zion, who's out 4 to 6 weeks. Lonzo played well, but only played like 20 minutes, which is weird, but okay. Seems like he should be a focal point of your offense as far as illustrating it. Man had like 5 assists, no turnovers. Don't know what that's all about. The Warriors kicking off the new year in their Chase Arena. Took the L to the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis. I mean, if I'm picking teams out of the East, I'm thinking either the Bucks or the 76ers. If I had to throw in a potential third, fuck it, I'll throw in the Raptors. But I think the Bucks and Sixers are there dancing for it in the end. In the West, I think it's going to be Clippers and Lakers again, man. I really do. I think there's going to be a hell of a game every time they meet and a potential Western Conference Finals matchup. But if I had to pick some runners-up for it, because the West is still definitely stronger than the East, even though the East now has KD and Kyrie on the same team. Kyrie dropped a 50-piece and a loss for the Brooklyn Nets. KD's going to be out potentially the whole year, but we'll see. I don't know what to expect out of that until that man comes back. It's going to be hard to fully evaluate that team. I mean, it's not like we don't know Kyrie Irving's a baller. The man was balling before LeBron was in Cleveland. They was just not winning that many games, so we'll see how that goes. Back to the West, if I had to pick two alternate teams, give me the Trailblazers and Rockets as potential upset alert teams. The new look Houston Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, old Thunder buddies, now Houston Rockets, took their debut L to the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis, man, he's strong, bro. Even though he fouled out, the man had a triple-double. But I'm glad the NBA is back. Give us more content, more sports to watch. Live sports, man. One of the few rare things you can see live on television. In NCAA football news, you got my LSU Tigers, baby, sitting at 7-0. Coming for that top spot in the country, facing Alabama in a couple of weeks. Got a nice test against Auburn this week. And Joe Burrow for Heisman. Like I said, go Tigers, baby. Hey, and in music news, yo, I am always either listening to podcasts because I do a lot of traveling, or I am listening to my favorite albums that I have downloaded from Spotify. Follow your boy on Spotify for custom playlists. Official Dom J Radio is on there as well. I already know y'all know that. But if I had to give y'all four albums right now that are continually, if not every day, all four of them, every other day, four albums I can't stop playing at the moment. 85 to Africa by Jidenna. So Much Fun by Young Thug. Masterpiece by James Davis. And Shea Butter Baby by Ari Lennox. You're welcome. On this episode, the spoken word selection comes from the official Dom J WordPress page. If you haven't already, check that page out. It's where I do all my writings and postings. For those that are lovers of poetry like myself, free verse, short story excerpts, check all of that out and more on the official Dom J WordPress. This week's selection is C for Color. This color comes with pressure. To want it is one thing. To emulate it is another. To blatantly steal it is a third. To live it may get you 6 feet under. I don't want to come off as confrontational, but this color is coveted. This color comes with charisma. It comes with a publicly perceived predisposition to crime, and it comes from creating beauty out of nothing. The unfortunate reality is that outside factors are often detractors who would rather see you dead or indebted for eternity. Both of those outcomes spurn me internally. We will rise up. This color cannot be killed. I say that earnestly. A C for Color. So there's been a lot going on since the last episode, and it would be a crime if I didn't speak on some of the things that happened, especially in August. We had back-to-back shootings, really, here in America, in El Paso and Dayton. And it was one of the saddest times, I feel like, in history, because it's, again, continuing the senseless violence of people having access to more than handguns. You're able to buy semi-automatic rifles, non-hunting rifles, automatic rifles that are AK-47, like, or in one case can reload after emptying almost 100 shells. Like, no one in their right mind, for the defense of anything home-related or personal, should have access to that sort of weaponry. Okay, and it just enrages me to think that people try to correlate this to video games or mental health. And while it may be tied to some mental health cases, absolutely understanding that. I have no qualms about clearly some of these people going out and doing these heinous crimes clearly have some mental health issues. But you know what would help curtail that if the process to get those sorts of weapons was a little harder? Or altogether, there wasn't the sort of access to those weapons with such ease, bro. You should not be able to go into places like Walmart or your local gun store and purchase more than a hunting rifle or a basic handgun. It just blows my mind every time this sort of things happens in this country that we get so far away from actually fixing the problem. I think that sort of hamster circle of a society where it continues to happen, and then you get people calling video games the problem. You have others talking mental health is the problem. You have others talking gun control and the sort of guns being the problem. But what is really going to get done, or are they just going to keep being talking points? It makes growing up in this current time, like, it is very, very, very disheartening in those sort of situations when you're thinking about building a family or living somewhere, just going out in general, doing a random normal thing that most people might do, like go to the grocery store, go to church, go to the movies. Like, you have to watch and be aware of everything and everybody. It's exhausting. It truly is exhausting. But all my condolences go out to those people, especially because I don't think we're going to get legislation that truly changes anything anytime soon. Now, I may be remiss in noticing anything that's happened in the last 2 months, if there has been significant legislation that makes it extremely harder to possess these kind of weapons, but you have places like Walmart who decide, you know what, maybe we're not going to sell as much ammo for those sorts of guns, or we're not going to openly promote violent video games and memorabilia in our stores. Like, man, that is just not, that's a start, I suppose, you know, on a corporate level to ensure your own ass. I'm sure that's a start, but it's just not enough. It's not enough. All right. I mean, outside of that, other sad news we had was some shootings in Texas, man, outside of the El Paso shooting. And, you know, the Amber Geiger trial, we had a young man who was sitting in his home, African-American man by the name of Botham Jean, sitting in his home eating ice cream, watching TV. This lady, Amber Geiger, mistakenly goes into his home, shoots him because she thought it was her own apartment. Meanwhile, she lives on the floor above that apartment. Now, I'm not one that's had the unfortunate occurrence of somebody breaking and entering into my home and me catching them in the act of doing so. But I'm just curious as to what sort of state you'd have to be in if you're a trained officer to assess the situation so quickly to where you walk in, see somebody sitting on a couch watching TV eating ice cream because you think it's your apartment, that you murder them on the spot. Now, understandably, that doesn't sound like the most threatening individual to me in any sort of situation, man. Like, that sounds like somebody who probably just got home from work. Sort of thing I might do, be chilling, some gym shorts, cooling after a long day, eating a bowl of ice cream, watching TV. And to end up dead shortly thereafter for doing nothing but being black in my apartment and minding my business is a heinous, heinous crime. Now, Ms. Geiger, excuse me, y'all, was sentenced to 10 years by a jury of her peers. And there was a lot of talk around the sentencing and things that were taking place afterwards because you had the judge presenting Ms. Geiger with a Bible after the sentence was given, and her brother, or not her brother, rather, the brother of the slain giving his statement saying he hoped Ms. Geiger got no time at all and all he wanted to do was give her a hug. Now, I respect that man's grieving process. It's been over a year since this nightmare began for him, and I expect to amount some sort of contrition and forgiveness in my own self if I was to be in that sort of situation at some point. Absolutely, you know, forgiveness more so for myself than for you. But in the courtroom, right before or after the verdict is being handed, to have such blatantly open and public forgiveness to that display is just a little off-putting for me personally. And I think that sort of seemed to be the debate at its core on the internet about forgiveness as a whole, and could you in that sort of position do that? Or, you know, I saw a lot of a lot of tweets of people talking about, if that was to happen to me and you would do that sort of thing, like, unfriend me, or however people want to get crazy about it. And I respect that opinion too. I mean, when I initially heard it, I was driving back, I think I was coming from Georgia to Florida for work, and I was thinking to myself, would I be that forgiving a year later, going through all of these court proceedings, back and forth, testimony, my brother's been slain by this woman while he was just sitting in his apartment minding her business. She's been very, you know, very, very apologetic in the courtroom. It seems to be a true level of contrition in her demeanor. And so, you know what I'm saying? All things considered, would I be asking for a hug? Would I be saying, I really hope she got no jail time? No. Absolutely not. There's no way. Matter of fact, ain't no way in hell I'd be that forgiving in that sort of instance. I'd probably shed some tears out of anger, that might be, you know, mixed with tears of forgiveness. But there's no way I'm saying I hope, you know, you don't get any jail time. Absolutely not, because that does not only her nothing as a learning experience, it does society as a whole no real opportunity to learn and deter from that sort of behavior. Whether you're a trained professional that's protecting and serving or not, there has to be some level of clear consequence when you just outright murder somebody, even if it is by accident. So I respect Botham's brother. I really, really do. But there's no way, yo. No way you murder my brother and a year later I'm giving public forgiveness in the courtroom like that and asking for hugs. That's just the weirdest shit I've ever seen and heard in a situation. Now, I respectfully, you know, consider others' opinions on what level of forgiveness you might have and the circumstances considered, but I just wanted to be out there for my siblings and people that are close to me. If I get murdered in my apartment or in the streets wrongfully, and a year later you're out here handing out forgiveness and offering hugs to the person that just murdered me, talking about you hope that they don't get any jail time. You don't want to see them get any jail time. You feel that they've adequately learned after having gone through this trial. I'm going to haunt the shit out of you, bro. It's spooky season right now. We're in the middle of October. I'm going to come back as a ghost and haunt the shit out of you for that. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Okay? More sad Texas news. It's been rough. You know what I'm saying? It's been real rough. Real rough for Texas. That was Dallas. And then Fort Worth decided they're going to get in on some of this downright sad, crazy action with an officer shooting a lady who was playing video games in her bedroom with her 8-year-old nephew. I repeat, neighbors, do not call the police on your black neighbors to do wellness checks. Do not call the police to do wellness checks on your black neighbors. If you listen to the Joe Budden podcast, this will be a reiteration of that. I thought it was an excellent principle, and I'm going to say it one more time. Do not call the police to do wellness checks on black people. Ms. Jefferson was in her apartment, in her bedroom. A concerned neighbor saw some doors and ajar. Police entered through the fence, the backyard. They saw Ms. Jefferson through the bedroom window, shouted for her to put her hands up before she could even actually respond or anything. They're already shooting. And that, you know, he was fired basically immediately after that situation. But again, we're talking about trained professionals who are supposed to be able to apply a certain level of critical thinking in stressful moments. Everyone understands you're in a stressful position being a police officer or a firefighter or a doctor or an emergency service technician, any of those sorts of fields. It's a high stress situation, but how you handle stress is supposed to be what separates you from the everyday person. Your ability to apply critical thinking in clutch moments, that sort of discernment is supposed to be one of the factors as to why you're good at your job. Now, this clearly was an individual who was not good at his job. Okay? And that is just irritating. That is just absolutely irritating and invigorating. Because again, what is going to be done to curb this sort of behavior? How are you not training people to adequately assess these sorts of situations without fatally shooting people as soon as they arrive on a scene, man? That's just nuts to me, bro. Absolutely nuts. And so I really, really do hope that we can apply some sort of learning to take forward. Like, yo, if you're listening to this and thinking about applying for these sorts of positions, or you want to affect sort of change, make sure you're impacting those people that need to hear it the most. Make sure your policemen are getting adequate training. Make sure you Vote for people that look like you in your neighborhood that can better serve and protect because they understand the people of that neighborhood. Those are the sorts of roots it seems like we don't get enough of, because honestly, I feel like in these sorts of situations, if you have somebody who lives in that neighborhood, who knows people of this neighborhood, it won't escalate so quickly in those sorts of situations. I mean, what if this police officer had accidentally shot the nephew, the 8-year-old? Would that have been any more or less tragic than Miss Jefferson being killed? Would we be sitting here having this same sort of conversation, learning from the body cam that this was a terrible, terrible assessment of the situation, firing from the outside into somebody's home after not even really stating fully, you're a police officer, we're here to assess this situation. We think you have a concerned neighbor call, and so we're checking the situation out. Like, no, none of that was followed. This is terrible, terrible protocol on behalf of this particular police officer. And I think that is the sort of thing I'm glad that justice is going to be served immediately in this case. But again, man, that's just crazy. Let it be this sort of ineptitude, essentially, on behalf of people who are in control of whether other people can outright live or die in certain situations. Like, I mean, I understand in certain situations, shoot to kill. I mean, I've heard it. I know enough people in armed forces that are serving. I know enough officers that are serving. You got shoot to kill sort of situations. But other times, you're equipped with a taser just as equally and can just be tasing people. Now, I personally would subscribe to that, but I suppose I haven't been in those high-stress situations to think I need to shoot to kill every time I come upon a situation. Got my hand on gun, ready to go ahead and end somebody's life. I just think, however officers are being trained, this is just not the protect and serve American people need. This is nuts. Absolutely nuts. I think everybody as a whole has to do a better job of critically thinking about everything. And I say everybody because we as people have to be considered. Before you call the cops on somebody else, if that person is a minority, that's something you got to consider. Before you call them on a black person, that is something you got to consider. Before you call them to help you in your own situation, I feel like that's got to be something you consider. It's a crazy world we live in, y'all. Crazy. Also want to say rest in power to Congressman Elijah Cummings, who passed on last week. When you talk about living legends, all-time orators who advocate for the poor in their respective districts. When you talk about congressmen who aren't afraid to criticize the current standing president, when you aren't afraid to bring and back impeachment inquiries, I think that is the sort of character that we as a community need to have. And I think Mr. Cummings was definitely the embodiment of that. It's definitely a sad day when you lose one of those sorts of pioneers, especially as a member of the chair the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. I think that's going to be a void that's left. Whew, man, it's going to be left for a while. And I think that's just all the more reason we cannot stop this journey as people of the nation if we're not pushing it to be better for everyone. If we're not pushing for true equality and justice, if we're not pushing to right wrongs as far as laws being instituted on state and federal levels, if we're not pushing for inclusion, we're not doing leaders like Mr. Cummings justice and their legacy, if we're not trying to disintegrate hateful comments, calling places shithole countries, as Trump is referred to, if we're not pushing forward with the constitutional rights, such as impeachment inquiries, that are very, very different and very far apart from lynchings, we're not doing this man and those like him justice. So definitely rest in power to Mr. Cummings. And I hope we do continue these impeachment inquiries into Trump for whatever particular reasons, whether it be with Russian interference, whether it be with still holding businesses and profiting while in the White House. It could be a number of things. International relations, trade war, nuclear war. I mean, man likes to get up and tweet at 4 and 5 in the morning about everything he's doing. And I think with that sort of reckless behavior and abandonment, the mass turnover of White House staff, the flipping of Republicans slowly but surely. I mean, a lot of signs can point to a house crumbling, but hey, if you're in it, it might not seem that way. And if he doesn't see it, I wouldn't be surprised, but I definitely support it and hope we really, really, really get this guy up out of here, because man, oh man, 2020 can look really bleak. If I'm to presume, we're getting 4 more years of this guy. Yeah, man, that's not a reality I want to live in. If I could jump dimensions and be in an alternate reality, if that was going to be the case, I would absolutely do it. This sort of rhetoric that gets spewed from this man is not inclusive. It's divisive. It doesn't help international relations. It doesn't help the downtrodden or the non-one percenters. It's very disheartening if you're really believing that as a poor American, this man is out to help you in any sort of fashion. You're being duped. I don't know if I'm the first person to tell you that, but you're being duped. A businessman with no political experience is still bettering his own business ventures as the president of the United States. So I'm sorry if you thought it was going to be something else, but you're being duped.
Litter boxes, toilet exteriors, tubs and shower walls, finished hardwood, sealed granite, stainless steels, got a mess? New 40% thicker cleaning, 2 times better Clorox disinfecting wipes can get the job done. They kill 99.9% of virus and bacteria, staph, E. coli, MRSA, salmonella, strep, kleb, kill cold and flu viruses, all of that with Clorox disinfecting wipes.
And in entertainment, I would have included this part in the music section, but Rihanna is doing damn near everything except dropping music. But if you haven't, you can check out her Savage X Fenty show on Amazon Prime, or even better, check out the Rihanna book that she also just dropped. Rihanna is getting them checks, getting them coins, y'all. And the Joker movie that's been taking the country by storm. People have been outraged at both its beauty and its sadness, as well as the hype it's causing with infamous scenes. And the staircase is now a tourist attraction in New York City. People are annoyed by that, but it's like, what do you expect out of today's society? People love to do things like that. It's like, oh, this was just featured in a movie. Let me post up in front of it. Dress like the Joker. Take crazy pictures. I mean, I don't know why people are seemingly surprised at that sort of behavior. I mean, let's be real. The Joker movie itself, if I had to give it a rating, maybe a seven. Went to see it a couple weeks ago with my fiance, and I don't know what, she would have gave it even less than that. She didn't think it got good until the last maybe quarter.
I gave it halfway through. It might have really gotten interesting. Going in, not expecting it to be a certain sort of way. And I won't spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but manage your expectations. You can read the little synopsis before you go into the theater to get your mind set into what the movie might be portrayed like if you haven't seen the trailers, etc. But just go into it not expecting it to be comparable potentially to a Batman-related movie, because again, gotta look at the time and place the movie's supposed to take place in. All things considered, do I think it was a flop for DC? I wouldn't call it a flop. Joaquin Phoenix, one of my favorite actors, loved him in the movie Her. I thought his portrayal very interesting. It takes a lot of work to get that in depth, go to those sorts of depths for feelings to really bring those to life. But I mean, I expect him to embody that in basically any potential role. So if you haven't seen it, I don't want to spoil it for you. Go check it out for yourself. And I don't know, man, that laugh is pretty creepy. I'm not even gonna do it on the podcast, even though it's that spooky season. I ain't gonna do that creepy ass Joker laugh. I'm gonna spare y'all that.
Don't let a car wreck your day. Call the Singleton Law Firm, 318-631-5200. Ask for Erica.
And there you have it, the latest and greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show, the spooky season episode. Thanks for everybody that tunes in, gives me feedback on the show. It's always much appreciated. If you're on Instagram, you can add me at official Dom J. Let me know what you think of the show. If you're sharing it, add it to your story. I'll add it to mine. Likewise, you know what I'm saying? As always, in the meantime, in between time, I hope y'all stay woke, stay blessed, get plenty asleep, get plenty of rest, drink your water, and mind your business. Until the next time, peace.